Hello, all of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your computer is locked onto our website, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis, and this show is called Our Town. The show puts a spotlight on some of the unique personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, a special place. Regular listeners to Our Town may have noticed that we have been rebroadcasting some of our earlier episodes of Our Town. That was a coping mechanism in the era of the COVID crisis. This station has been fundamentally shut down in an abundance of caution. Individual DJs have been able to enter the building and record their show in solitary confinement with the equipment. But those of us who have live guests on the shows have not been able to record them. We can't get in the studio. Needless to say, that puts something of a crimp in our style. But we're doing a little magical technical workaround. You will probably notice that the audio quality of this show is not up to our usual standards. It's been driving the editor of this show, John McPherson, nuts. But the show must go on, so please bear with us. If the audio quality isn't quite what you usually expect from us, consider the content, not the fact that we sound like we're talking through tin cans. The purpose of Our Town is to let our listeners get to know some of the fascinating people who live around here. But the show is only a half hour long, which is certainly not long enough to do justice to some of our unique fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca, right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. The past few weeks have brought remarkable changes to our county and indeed to our country. Now more than ever, don't you wonder who the people are you see around you? Who helped create that new mural downtown? We see some remarkable sights around here. The other morning out on the water, I saw a guy on a stand-up paddleboard gliding by. Well, that's not very unusual. But contentedly sitting on the board between his legs was a very large and comfortable dog. Now that's a Port Townsend image for you. Today, my guest is a hardworking young entrepreneur, Jose Barrio, who's the owner of the Port Townsend Garden Center. Welcome to the show, Jose.
Hello.
I always like to start at the beginning and get a little background about people. My first question inevitably is, were you born around here?
I was not, actually. I moved here, I want to say about 15 years ago, from Owako, Washington.
Now, that's a town I don't really know. Is it a big town or a small one?
It's a very small town. It's much smaller than Port Townsend.
Right. When we talked the other day, you happened to mention that you're one of five brothers.
Correct. So I'm 32 years old, and I have a younger brother that's 15 years old, and then I have three older brothers, which are 34, 38, and then 40.
And so what did your brothers end up doing? Your older brothers, obviously.
So I actually have a brother in Port Townsend, and he's been doing landscaping for the last, I want to say 12 years, 10 to 12 years, called Landscaping Brothers. We actually started the landscaping before I started to do a lot more around here. So that's why it's called Landscaping Brothers, because we're two brothers that were out there doing landscaping. I have an older brother. He lives in Mexico. And then I have my older brother, then one of my older brothers as well, it lives in Mexico. And then my little brother lives here in Port Townsend.
Okay, is he a student at the moment?
Yes, he is. He actually goes to Chimacum High School.
Okay. When you told me that you actually moved here during your high school years, correct?
Correct.
So when people are in high school, it's a very formative time for most people. And what do you think your fellow students thought of you? How would they define you? I mean, it might not be correct, but what did they think about you? Did they think you were a jock? Did they think you were a nerd, a techie? What did they think of you?
I think growing in a small town, you didn't have a lot so much of that, but there was a little bit of it. I like to think that they thought of me a man with different characters. Definitely, I've got along with a lot of my classmates and a lot of the people that went to the school that I did.
Okay. And when you first got out of school, what were the first type of jobs that you had?
When I moved to Port Townsend, one of my first jobs was actually working out in the bay, digging in clam bags for a small company. I think he was just a family-owned small business owner. And then I actually did work at La Isla in Port Townsend, the Mexican restaurant food, and the Fiesta next to the QFC. So those were the three jobs that I had when I first moved to Port Townsend.
Okay, and so how did you end up in the gardening business?
My mom actually used to work for Mike Henry and Michelle Henry. She actually had a cleaning business. And at the time I was moved away for a very short time to California, and I was looking for something to do, something to change. And she had let me know that they were looking for a maintenance guy at the garden center. And I felt like it was what I needed to do. I needed to do a change. I think at that age, you really aren't really sure what it is you want, what you want to do, where you want to go. And I felt like that's where I was in life. And I just was like, okay, sounds great. I'll come do it. And I've been here since then.
Wow. Well, so you started doing maintenance and now you own the place. There must have been sort of a transition there. How did it happen?
When you get into the garden business, as I did, I didn't know anything. I didn't even know what a perennial or an annual was, which now I find it that that's the smallest question that you should know, even if you're not a gardener. But in reality, when you're not a gardener, you don't really know those kind of things.
Right.
And so when I started working here, I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. And I've always came up to my boss, you know, Mike Henry, and he'd give me a list and he said, okay, go do these things. Because I didn't really know what it is that maintenance that, you know, at the nursery that I needed to do. And I'd come back to him and say, okay, I'm done with that list. And then he'd give me another list and on so forth, you know, every single day there was lists. And eventually you get to know what it is as maintenance. And so I was learning plants, unloading trucks. So I got to learn as I unloaded. I was always intrigued by what was coming out of the truck. So I always would look at the tag and be like, ooh, what is that? That's pretty cool. For doing that for years, you really get to start to know your things because you're seeing them all the time. So it sticks in your head. And then from there, you just continue to learn more and more. And then all of a sudden, you start to just get the knowledge of everything. They needed some help at the registers. So I was like, okay, just because I've never been afraid to do anything job-wise, so I just jumped on it. And from there, I started to learn how the registers worked, how the codes and how we rung people up and what people did in the inside, which was much different than the outside. So I started to pick that up, and then I was helping my manager backstock products, and then I started to learn that side of the business. And so all of a sudden, here I am doing my outdoor work, but also doing some inside work. So I was picking up what was needed to do around here pretty quickly.
So you started out, you basically didn't even know the names of the plants, right?
Correct.
So it must have taken a while to memorize hundreds and hundreds of plants.
Yeah, I gotta say, being in this business now for 15 years, I still don't know all of them. I mean, there's so many of them that you think that you know something, and then somebody shows you something and you either get stumped on it and you got to look for it because you don't even know what it is. I can't say that there is or ever will be a point in my life that I'll be the most knowledgeable plant person because there's so much out there.
Yeah, that would be a lot. So basically, you learned the plants first, then you moved inside and learned the register and sort of how the business end of it worked, right?
Yes. It was about 7 or 8 years when I was actually working for the Henrys, and then I was asked to manage the place. I wasn't too sure that I was up for it because it was much more than I was used to doing. Someone inside of me said, you could do this, you got this, you know how it works, you've done it for a while now. So then I did jump on board and I said, I'll do it. And I managed their business for about a couple of years before my boss came to me. I remember it was the craziest moment, I think, of being here. He looked at me and he said, all right, Jose, I'm moving. And then I said, wait, what? I was just like shocked. I'm like, wait, what? What do you mean? Like, so are you selling the store or something? He's like, no. He's like, you're gonna run it for me. And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, you're doing a good job. You do this. It was above and beyond more than I thought that, you know, that I could do. I mean, I know that I had it in me, but I wasn't at that age, you know, I wasn't so confident. I was confident, but I didn't know that I was, you know, that confident in taking on a big task like that. And he said, well, I'm not going to leave you alone. He's like, I'll come by once a week and, you know, check on you and we'll talk and everything. And still I was just, I was shocked. I didn't know how to take it. We continued to do the things. And luckily enough as well, brought in one of our guys, which is Tim Eaton. And he's still with us till this day. He's actually like my right-hand man. He does all my ordering outside. He does all my plant ordering outdoor. He's just been great. So anyways, I was lucky enough to have him with me here. So he was able to take on a lot more of that. When Mike wasn't around, which was Tyson, because, you know, it was something that I know I could depend on if I needed some plant questions. And, you know, he's more knowledgeable than I am. He's owned his own nursery. I mean, he knows what he's doing. So it was a relief to me to know that I could do my job when I have somebody like him. And it was about 2 years right after that, there had been some talks, and Michelle, his wife, you know, she had, you know, told me, well, you know, at some point, maybe you and Jillian, your wife, maybe you guys can buy it from us. And I just, to my mind, I said, no way. There's no ever way I will ever be able to do something like that. I mean, I don't think I felt ready for something like that. And so then we finally ended up actually, we go to trade shows every year for the garden center. And that's where we go and we buy a lot of our fertilizers and our gifty stuff and our ornaments for Christmas and whatnot. And we actually had a meeting and they said, we love for you to take over the garden center. Me and my wife had thought about it. We daydreamed how cool that would be because I had been doing this for a while now and I really enjoy doing this. And I couldn't see myself doing this for anybody else. And I felt like I was ready to take over. And at that point, and I felt confident in myself, I would enjoy doing this. The process took about a year to take over. And that was 3 years ago, actually. June 1st of this year was our 3-year mark.
So going back, just so I got the years sort of right, when he asked you to start managing, that would have been in about, what, 2015?
About 2015, yep.
Okay, and so then you managed it for 2 years, essentially. And then there was this transition. Now, most young entrepreneurs, one of the problems, of course, is always financing the big the entry, right?
Correct.
And so how did you do it, totally through banks, or did you have some family help or whatever?
Me and my wife were actually pretty fortunate that we had some family that helped us with a small loan, and then Mike and Michelle actually self-financed for us. So we are actually, they're our landlord, and we're also buying the business from them directly, so we don't pay Inc. or anybody. It's just directly through them and we deal with them. They were more than happy to do this for us. It's been tough. I mean, you know, just like I think any business, you start and you have good days and you have bad days, but it's definitely has helped us to the point of him financing it for us.
That's great. Okay. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show's called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest is Jose Varejo, the owner of the Port Townsend Garden Center. Jose was telling me about the transition years where he essentially went from being maintenance man to learning all of the business it takes to run a garden center. And believe you me, it takes a lot more than I would have thought to do a business like that. Can you talk a little bit about some of the challenges in running the garden center?
Yeah, well, our biggest things of running a garden center is funds and people. It's hard to find people with the amount of knowledge on one side of the business to be able to know what to bring in, what to order, even the knowledge about plants, of everything that has to do with how they grow, you know, what they need, what's wrong with them, how to cure them. I mean, it's not easy finding a lot of people like that. And I think that we are me and my wife are very fortunate to have people like that. I think that if you have the people, the knowledge of people, and you have the funds, everything else comes together.
Okay. Now, I want to note for our listeners that aren't aware of this, the Garden Center was one of the relatively few businesses that have been allowed to stay open during the COVID crisis. But obviously, it did impact you. Can you talk a little bit about the steps you had to take in order to remain in business?
Yeah, there was some of the smallest things that I think that we oversee when you first enter a business, a door handle. You have to stay on top of wiping everything down. We're still doing that. Restrooms as well. We ended up having to change our sinks and our paper towel dispensers, everything where it's touchless. So when people even use the restroom, you don't have to touch any of those kind of things while you were in there. We had to also rearrange the way that we did business, the way that people came into our business. One of the things that we had to ensure from the beginning that we were taking care of before, we wanted to make sure that we were taking the right precautions, making sure that nobody opening doors, touching the card machines. I've heard that credit card machines are the number one germ items in a business because everybody touches it. We had to rearrange that so it was easy for our customers to make sure that they inserted their card and that's all they had to do. Our flow, the way that our store on the inside works, before it was you came in the door and you ran into our cash registers and you ran into people there. So you make space inside your store so people can stay at a safe distance and you ring people up and have them go out one way and so they don't run into each other. On the inside, it's a lot different than the way that we used to operate. And, you know, we've learned that we like it better this way. We like it to the point where it's a better flow for, you know, in the store, but at the same time, you don't have people coming in, running into people. It just flows a lot better.
Now, a garden center is obviously deeply impacted by the seasons. Can you talk a little bit about that, how it impacts you?
Yes. At the beginning of the year, you hit January. We're just coming out of that last year, not much going on in January. Then you hit February and then you start to think, okay, you know, maybe we'll have an early spring. Maybe we'll get some great weather. And then you start to hope that everything starts to warm up sooner than later. And you start to bring in revenue because the last 2 or 3 months have been just cold and not a lot of revenue. And, you know, you can't employ all your people that you love to have. So you got to lay some people off. We ourselves, you know, we have to run it more. Come March, we start to get into annuals. We start to get into a lot of the things that we're all used to doing every year. Our annuals, basically, everything we put in our pods, our hanging baskets. You have a good few months right after that, up to mid-July, where you have a short period of time to make sure that you have the things as a garden center. Definitely those few months you're thinking, great, this is awesome. You're employing lots of people. The sales are great. People are planting. People are happy. And then you start to decrease in sales. And then you have to think, okay, well, we're done with vegetables. We're done with annuals. You still have some perennials. You still have some shrubs. Then you got to think about, well, how much inventory do I have? Because you don't want a lot of inventory coming into September, October, November, all those months. You don't want to have lots where most of everything will either sit here in the winter and it's just revenue that is sitting there. It's tougher. It starts to get a little bit tougher there. So then you got to start doing something different. One of the things is either you have sales on the stuff that you have now, or you start integrating into more of gifty stuff. We've integrated a lot of our houseplant inventory now. And it's just something that we will continue to expand because I think that'll be always something that you can do all year. Some things like that you can do and not matter whether it's cold outside or not.
I've noticed that your shop has a much greater variety of things in it than it used to.
Yes. So indoor and outdoor, that comes with the change of personnel. We all have different minds, thinking the way we think and the way we see things. I think that everybody has their own taste, and we see things different. And so that's kind of a little bit what's been happening here at the garden center. You have me and my wife, and we've been ordering all the indoor plants. We'll sit together and we'll see, okay, well, you know, what do people like? What do we still have? So when you are able to see the things you're able to get things that people love and you know that you'll sell. So you're always turning around your product inside, which is ideally what you want. I mean, you don't want anything that just sits there and collects dust and you have to mark it down. And then outdoors as well, like I said, you know, Tim has been just a great asset to the garden center because he's been amazing and he knows his plants and he has good taste. So when you have people like that, that's what makes a garden center great. You have people with good taste and you have people that just know what they're doing.
Right. Now, is it hard to keep people, or have you found that you've found some dedicated people? Obviously, Tim has been there for quite a while, but what about other staff?
We do have some people that have been here for a long time. We've also have Patty's been here way longer than the old owners, Mike and Michelle, were. You know, she's been here since the beginning, I think since the building went up. She goes in the winter, we lay her off. Sometimes depending on how she's feeling, if she would like a couple of days, we keep her on. There's just a few people that we have now that will go down in days because we still do Christmas and we do holiday stuff. So we do need some help in the winter, but it's not like what we usually would have in a typical spring. So we do go down a few people. In the winter, it goes down. So, you know, we also want to preserve and make sure that we stay alive through every single winter. And that's by keeping costs down and we're able to survive every single winter.
Right. Now, how does a small garden center like yours compete with the big box stores?
It's hard. People can realize that we're not a Home Depot. We're not a Lowe's. The one thing that I have to say that we have that Lowe's or Home Depot will never have is the knowledge. You come to a garden center to find plants. You come to a garden center to find solutions and answers to all your problems in the garden. And I don't think that that is something that anybody can compete with. But at the same time, we can't compete with Lowe's or Home Depot pricing because, you know, they're buying for hundreds and hundreds of stores where we're buying for one store. We are in a buying group called NNBA. And so that does help us with the pricing. So it's you know, at the same time, it's still not as good as Home Depot, but it keeps us reasonable price where the markup on your stuff is not super high because you get a discount and you can share that discount with your customers. So it's still a pretty good pricing, but I think that there will be some times that Home Depot or Lowe's won't have. So definitely there's a lot of things like that you wouldn't find at a big box store.
Well, I think you also have a lot of loyal customers that have been coming for years.
Yes, we have actually a lot of customers that have been coming here for years, and I've gotten to know a lot of them. I think that people like that face that they come and the help that they get when they come to a small business like this. They're always seeing the same face. They're always getting the help from the person that helped them last time that they had an issue and they got resolved. I think that as long as we can continue to do that,
that's an important thing for small local people, is that personal touch.
Yeah, I think that as long as that we're able to keep that relationship with our customers and the same care that we treat every single one every time they come into our stores, they will always appreciate that because, yeah, we're here, you know, to obviously sell product and stuff like that, but more than anything, to make sure that they get what they need and the answers that they need.
Okay. Looking ahead to the future, you're obviously hustling now to do the best job you can, but have you taken any time to think about the future, things you might like to do, even though they're just sort of dreams right now?
Yeah, I actually, you know, this kind of was one of the dreams that I first thought about when I got the garden center. You know, where can I expand? I'm already trying to fly before I can walk, right? But I've always thought that it'd be pretty cool to open up a little coffee shop inside here and have people be able to come in and think about and chat with their friends before they get their shopping. You know, I think it'd be a great place. Obviously, with the COVID right now is probably not the best thing to do, but hopefully after it's all said and done here in the future, in the next few years or so, it'd be nice to be able to serve a hot cup of coffee, sit around with your friends and chat and just talk about your garden and talk about what you got going on and then follow it up with your shopping. I think that it would be a fun place to do that.
Yeah, I can also see that you could maybe have some guest speakers talk about pruning roses or whatever.
Yes, we've always have done a little bit of that. We've done some classes. We try to offer all free classes. You know, there's never really been a charge or there's never been a charge for our classes. I think that the more we fill our customers with knowledge and the more information we get out there, they're more knowledgeable about what's going on in their garden. And I mean, there's a lot of knowledgeable gardeners out there, and a lot of homeowners that are very knowledgeable. So it's for the people that want to either take that next step, or we usually would offer like a class for first time gardeners and stuff like that, how to prune fruit trees and roses, and how to pot up, you know, different containers for your annuals and stuff like that. It was something that we wanted to do this year, was to integrate a lot more of those kind of classes. But unfortunately, you know, with the whole COVID, we weren't able to do it.
When I take walks around my neighborhood, I'm noticing a lot more people out in their gardens. Do you think that's true? Are there more gardening going on in the COVID era?
Yes, that is very true. I think that a lot of people were laid off from work. We all thought alike. I think that we all had the same thing in mind. And that's why there was a big shortage in soil and seeds. Everybody thinking, let's plant. A lot of vegetables too. Vegetables was very hard to keep up at first. I mean, we would have a full greenhouse one day, and we'd have no greenhouse the next day.
Wow. Now, some of those gardens must be ripening now. Do you think we're going to have a lot of fresh fruit around and vegetables?
I think so. I think that a lot of people are either harvesting, like I am now at my house. I have potatoes coming up. I got peas. I got cabbage. I got, you know, a lot of vegetables. And I think a lot of people do too. I think that it was a great year for weather-wise for the garden. We got that really, really nice weeks of rain and sun. And there's nothing more than that than the plants like.
Yeah, well, great year. Anyway, Jose, believe it or not, we're almost out of time here. I want to thank you for being a guest on the show. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been Jose Barreo, owner of the Port Townsend Garden Center. In addition to thanking Jose for sharing his story, I also want to thank my partner, John McPherson, the editor and producer of Our Town. Normally, he sits in a glass booth with microphones and lots of equipment, but that's not what's happening today. He's not even inside our locked fortress of a studio. He's hidden away in a very low-tech operation. So am I, but we're not even in the same room, and Jose is not anywhere near us either. But John will make us sound better. Unfortunately, I can't completely control the audio quality, but it'll be great. So thank you for listening to the show. So seriously, we're not using our usual equipment, no microphones, no standard radio equipment. It's the content that matters. And Jose's entrepreneurial story is inspirational. It's good to have young entrepreneurs in Port Townsend. We're all trying to make it through this crisis together. I want to thank you, listener. KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 is a community radio station. Everyone who works here is a volunteer. We give our time because we believe that Jefferson County needs a free local voice. Before the pandemic, we were building new headquarters at Fort Worden. It's still being built. We'll get in there sometime. We're going to miss our current world headquarters in the trailer at Mountain View, but we're going to really love having a studio. So listeners, stay safe, stay healthy. I'm signing off, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.